The Holy Reminiscence by Srimad Puragra Parambanti, Assam. I saw Bhagawan Sri Ramana for the first time in my life during the memorable night of the 10th of December 1949. I reached Sri Ramanashram in the evening, and a very friendly and helpful monk of the ashram informed me that I might be able to have darshan of the Maharishi from a distance that very night. I waited with bated breath for this rare privilege. Then, all of a sudden, I saw him as he slowly emerged from the bathroom, leaning heavily on the arms of two bhaktas. I was simply astounded and thrilled by the vision before me. I saw a tall, lean man in loincloth. His limbs were well proportioned, well knit and long. His skin was smooth and glowing, and his quivering head was inclined towards the right side. There was a white bandage on the left arm, which had been operated upon to remove a tumor. His eyes were neither big nor small, but clear, deep and mystical, and his clean-cut, handsome face was in perfect repose and serene tranquility. Intense physical suffering had not touched or intruded upon the sovereign realm of his soul. His eyes shone with kindness and love for all mankind. His face was lit up with a beatific smile of benediction. I saw before me a yogi of the highest order, a mystic of supreme realization, for he radiated the living presence of divinity within and without. Verily, such persons live and move and have their being in God alone. The next morning, I saw him again, slowly and with a spirit of high expectancy. I entered the spacious hall where he was giving darshan to the gathering. I sat down quietly in one corner after tendering my salutation, which he promptly accepted by nodding his head slightly, smilingly. I saw around me rows of seated men and women of different races and religions, of different stations and positions. I saw European, Parsi, Muslim, Hindu gents and ladies sitting calmly in yogic asanas. In a big utensil, the incense burned and suffused the air with a smoothing aroma, while the silence was broken by the vibrant chanting of holy hymns by a few ashram brahmacharins. Almost at the center of the hall, on an elevated and wide bed, sat the Maharishi. Only a white loincloth was on his person. His right hand held a fan with which he fanned himself indifferently and infrequently. I saw the same quivering and slightly inclined head, and in the clear morning, the mystic lines of his face were deep and sharply drawn. His ever-smiling face was completely free from the ravages of the illness that was slowly and steadily devastating the body. His spiritual presence was dynamic and clearly perceptible. It touched and inspired us, and simultaneously raised us to the high and rare sphere of spirituality. I felt suddenly the presence of a spiritual power which was ambient and edifying, and it raised the expectancy of all to a high pitch. The atmosphere of the hall was distinctly attuned to a higher will and power that influenced the entire gathering. All eyes were fixed on the Maharishi. Every soul was raised to a high spiritual level by the nearness and influence of his great yogic personality. I intensely reflected on this unique phenomenon and tried hard to find an answer to this unheard of event. I wanted to know how and by what irresistible force it had been possible for persons young and old, rich and poor, wise and simple, belonging to different races and religions, to gather at the feet of this great yogi. I wanted to know how and why stubborn diversity had become transformed into unity, the persistent dissimilarity into perfect harmony, the many into the one. Suddenly, the answer came, and I realized that it had been possible solely due to the unifying presence and realization of the Maharishi. I realized that the Maharishi was living embodiment of the Advaitic truths of Vedanta. He was the complete realization of the eternal truths of Vedanta, the truths which are ever universal and transcendental, harmonious and cohesive. And he was not only the preacher of unity and oneness, of identity of man and God, of spiritual brotherhood of mankind, irrespective of caste or creed, time or clime, race or position, but he was the living symbol of these truths, their perfect realization in real life. That was why his all-embracing personality had become the center of universal truth and the unifying force cementing diverse races and religions into harmonious concord. That was why hundreds of people of diverse conditions and ways, of different aspirations and hopes, had gathered at his feet spontaneously to receive the benediction of peace, contentment, and spiritual illumination. A few days later, I left Sri Ramanashram. My heart was full to the brim, but deep within, I felt, just as all ashram people felt, that the Maharishi would shortly cease to grace the earth by his physical presence, for he was on the verge of departure. Afterwards, we heard over the radio that the sage had laid down his mortal coil on the 14th of April 1950. He has now passed away, but have we known him thoroughly and fully? Our narrow understanding cannot comprehend him. His greatness is too vast, too immense to be captured within our mental orbit. Just a part of his spiritual self, a tiny fraction of it, is visible to us, and we rejoice in this partial vision of him because we live in the dark and bound by the sad limitations of our senses. Though he has passed away, he lives perpetually in the evergreen memory of his thousands of devotees the world over, in his own undying gospels and messages, which would surely continue to uplift, inspire, and guide all along the right path towards the true and the highest goal, self-realization. Sourced from Call Divine, May 1956.